listening to Strange Label.
All right, let's do this. This is the Chris Break Show. I'm Chris Break. That's John Rapp.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
Everything was sounding weird for a second. I can never tell if I sound weird or if everybody else sounds weird. You know, when you're in that situation where, am I being the jerk or is everybody else being the jerk? You know?
It is hard to tell sometimes.
Is everybody in here crazy?
Has everyone has everyone forgotten the rules?
Or is it me? You never know.
You do never know. I want to hire someone to, you know, like a lawyer to follow you around just to tell you like who was right in that situation, you know?
That's a good one. I've always wanted to have a lawyer.
Just know? With you everywhere. My client gets to go next in line.
that's the thing with Hunter S. Thompson, you know. He always you know, I mean, I know they were buddies and drug users, but I think he did enjoy having a lawyer around. To a degree.
Okay, and the classic movie.
Fear and Loathing.
Yeah, that was his attorney that he was with.
But in real life.
In real life, he had an attorney with him. That's a good idea, probably especially for that guy.
I was listening to Penn Jillette. Nice. From Penn Sunday School, and he recently had jury duty. And he took his lawyer with him to jury duty.
That guy's ridiculous, man.
I recommend listening to that. I think it's called Penn Jillette Juror 008.
How does that work? Like, why did he have him? And what did the lawyer do with him? Because, I mean, you're not allowed to just bring someone with you to
No, he sat in the peanut gallery or whatever, but he was texting him on his smartwatch.
That sounds super illegal. Like, you're not supposed to discuss the case and whatnot?
He got out of it. Yeah, well, no, he wasn't serving at that moment in time.
Well, why did he want to bring his lawyer with him to jury duty?
I don't know, just to see if he could get out of it, I guess.
He didn't.
No, he did. Anyway, fuck Penn.
Okay.
Jeez. Megan's not here. She ate too much sushi and says she's on the verge of vomiting, which I tell her she should come anyway. Because everybody likes that. You'd like hearing that. Like, if you're listening to this, wouldn't you enjoy Megan sitting here all, which is kind of how she is anyway. We are live on strangelabel.com. I want to touch on something real quick. Last week, there was a bunch of shenanigans happening at the end of the show with a gentleman named Donio, Seth Donio. I just wanted to give you an update on that in case you're curious. He kept postponing the interview. He set up a date. Then he canceled it. Then he said he'd get back to us. And then he got back to us with something else other than the date. And I just kept asking him. I was like, well, just let me know when you want to get interviewed. Let me know when you want to get interviewed. Let me know. Like, the guy is impossible to work with. That's all I can say. And all we were doing was trying to help the guy out and be nice to him. You know, like he was talking bad about us, about the show for some reason. He thought we wronged him, even though we did exactly what we told him we were going to do.
And he admitted that we helped him, and he also lied about the only thing that he had a problem with. He's like, oh, well, you got to cost me a job. And at the end of it, we find out, no, we really didn't. And yes, we did help him. So I don't know what you want, Donio. Sorry. Gosh.
Yeah, the guy's wearing me out, man. He's really wearing me down. I'm over him.
Yeah.
So you're probably never going to hear Donio on this show again.
We've been breaking our back. Chris, especially, he didn't usually ever talk to guests, but he's like, oh, no, I really want to make it right with this guy. And I was like, God bless you, Chris, because I'm wearing out my patience with him, you know. But we tried to get you on, Donio. If you want to come on, come on. But, you know, ball's in your court, right? Is that right, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, your eyes are half open. Are you as tired as me?
Yeah, I'm pretty sleepy.
Dude, I got so sunburnt. I was out working for like 9 hours in the yard, and I didn't realize till I was done that.
It's super dark, man.
Oh, it's red.
That's like Florida man status.
Look at this. You see that on the shoulder there?
Yeah, you don't have a farmer's tan. You have it all the way up to your shoulder.
Yeah,
were you out there naked, Chris?
Switch to the sleeveless shirt. Okay. No, next time I'll be topless. Although I don't think men go topless; they go shirtless.
Right. Different term, but it's good for you to get some sun on the old chest.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of StrangeLabel.com, which we're live on, I also want to let you know that there was a kickoff show that happened where all the shows got together and did a 4-hour show.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yes, and we were on like the last 2 hours. And you can go download that at strangelabel.com. It's on the go to strangelabel.com, click downloads, and you can check that out. I think there's broken into 4 parts.
That was a good conversation, man. Like, that was a fun little conversation. 40-ounce pimp got 40, in on it.
Yeah, every show called in.
Yeah.
Except for Pod Cheese. I don't think Benny called in.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, but that's okay, because we're going to call him tonight. So that happened. I'm trying to think if there's any. Yeah, 40 was on there. I'm trying to think if there's any other things I should mention that happened there.
Pod Cheese is calling.
All right, answer that. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about Beetlejuice. Hello?
Hello.
What's going on, sir? Is this Benny?
What's up, Chris?
Hey. Thanks for calling in. This is John Rapp sitting here with me as well.
What's up, John?
What's up, Benny?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
The audio sounds super crisp at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. Cool.
All right, I was trying to explain to everybody what we're going to be talking about and try and explain to, I was going to explain to Megan, but she's not here, exactly who Beetlejuice is. Because I think a lot of people listen to this, there's a good chance they might not even know who Beetlejuice is, and they might think we're speaking of Michael Keaton.
That's unacceptable.
I know.
We have to write this.
We need to get the word out.
Yeah. Yes. This guy's been around for what, 20 years? 15? What do you think?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, late 90s.
Yeah, I have problems describing exactly what he does. I mean, it's easy to say he's a dwarf, I guess, if that's a proper term, with an intellectual disability. He also has microsyphilis. No, it's not syphilis. It's
Yeah, I forget what it's called, that his exact condition.
Microcephaly.
But once upon a time, they would have referred to that as a pinhead, because he's got a real tiny head. Mm-hmm. So that was like the term for it back in the old days before they had names for it.
I got a big head.
His head is incredibly small. Like, television doesn't even do that guy's head any justice.
Wow.
Small, man.
But he's a sweetheart. But anyways,
recognize. I just want to jump and say to listeners, because you guys are way familiar. I'm not so much, but you would know this guy if you see him. He's just got a face that you're like, oh, I know who you're talking about. Look at the blog notes, you know, blog page or whatever. We'll have a picture of him. You'll be like, oh, that guy. I want to hear all about this guy because he's super interesting.
I'm going to put that picture of Benny and him on the show notes.
Nice. That's
a
good one. Yeah.
But so this gentleman, is he a performer, or would it just be easy to call him a freak show oddity? Like, I mean, what was his, like, why would you go see him? Why are people, what does he do other than just be himself, you know?
Well, he was, you know, obviously he was made popular by Howard Stern show. Howard Stern used to have him on.
Yeah, that's a huge, yeah.
Yeah.
But before that, he was a midget wrestler. Or no, a dwarf tosser. He was a tosser.
Yeah, people could toss him, I guess.
He was made famous by Howard Stern. I believe Sean Rooney, a gentleman, found him in his neighborhood, and this guy owned a dwarf tossing business. And he said, hey, do you want to come work for me? And then the rest is history.
Yeah, that guy passed away.
Yeah, he did. He had a stroke. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Like, did you know Sean?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
I met him from at the time. It was right around the time when Howard went to Sirius.
Okay, and that was
a lot of the guys, like his supporting staff, they kind of started a comedy tour called Killers of Comedy. I don't know if you were a listener.
I'm sorry, that was 2006, right? That he went to Sirius. Okay. So around
that time, 2006, 2007, a lot of those guys.
And that Killers of Comedy, who was that? Was that with Richard Christie and Sal and Ronnie Limo Driver and Shuley Agar?
Yeah, and Reverend Bob Levy.
Oh, yeah, Bob. Yeah, you can't forget Bob Levy.
Yeah, it was pretty much his tour.
Yeah,
and then he would just grab guys that were popular from the show, and they would go make appearances. I think they pretty much went all over the country. I did shows with them when they were in, like, the Philadelphia area.
Okay.
You guys are in Indianapolis, right?
Yeah, we're in Indianapolis. I don't know
if they ever made it out that way.
Yeah, I don't think they made it to Indianapolis. They might have come somewhere around Indiana, somewhere in the Midwest. You know, I remember hearing.
I met him. I met Beetlejuice on a show. Bob Levy would take him around, and at the time, I was doing shows with Bob Levy. So there was a show. It was the day after Thanksgiving. I forget what year. Maybe 2007 or 2008. It was a long time ago. And there was a show that we were booked on, and it was like $50 a ticket, but the catch was that it had like an all-you-can-eat buffet, because you know how that's what everyone wants the day after Thanksgiving?
So this was a Killers of Comedy show?
No. It was just a Bob Levy show, okay. But it was Bob Levy and Beetlejuice is how it was billed.
Yeah, they always, John, they always refer to, on the Howard Stern show, they call Beetlejuice like Bob's cash cow or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like that's, they always joke that this guy would have no business and make no money if he didn't have Beetlejuice to tag along with him.
He definitely brought some people in.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the day after Thanksgiving, but generally speaking.
Yeah. Was that when he owned a club? Didn't he own a club or something at that time or?
Yeah, he had like four clubs.
Okay.
This wasn't at one of those spots. This is like a catering hall in Philadelphia.
Now, how did Bob Levy, like, does he pick Beetlejuice up or does somebody drop him off? Does he stay with Bob at that time?
No, I think he would pick him up somewhere. They both lived in Jersey. And then Bob would drive him. But then when he got there, I mean, the guy required like constant attention, you know?
Yeah, that's what's strange to me about, you know, because the way I kind of thought that, you know, Sean kind of looked out for him all the time, you know, or found people to take care of him. But I mean, really, this is a guy with an intellectual disability who can't take care of himself, essentially. And he's just being passed around from people to people, you know, to kind of entertain.
Well, I mean, for me, I was a huge fan of this guy, you know?
Well, yeah. No, yeah.
So it was like...
everybody loves him.
Yeah, I was starstruck.
Yeah.
But so for me, I was like happy to kind of take that on.
Oh, just, yeah. I would absolutely.
Just to kind of...
It's a weird... It's a weird situation, you know, kind of in the entertainment business, you know, like I've never heard of this happening with anybody else. I've never heard of any other star. Like he's like Beatles, a celebrity,
right?
I've never heard of another star that gets this type of treatment, you know, who has to be taken care of.
Right.
Yeah. Well, before they showed up, he can't drink alcohol.
Not at all.
No, he's real small, you know, and I don't know what his condition is, but I mean, you certainly don't want him drunk.
Oh, I can understand that. Chris was telling me those rules, and you know, he's allowed to have up to three beers.
So he can drink.
Well, no, they don't want him drinking.
You don't
at all.
Want him, yeah.
That might be a medical condition. I don't know, but they told me this, and part of our package.
Let me back up because I derailed you a lot.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're at this show, you know, working with Bob Levy, doing a show for Bob Levy, and you get yourself in a situation where you have to take care of Beetlejuice.
I kind of put myself in that situation. I mean, I was excited to do it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I would have done the same.
I was pretty psyched, man.
Yeah, no, I'm. And, I'm with you 100. I'm with you 100%. This sounds awesome.
Yeah. So I was pretty psyched, and. I told the bar part of our package was we got free drinks, but Beetlejuice, he couldn't have any. So I told the bartender, who was like this old man who's like completely oblivious. He just worked for this venue. He didn't, you know, he wasn't like a booker or anything like that. He was just there to bartend. So I told him, I was like, yeah, there's this guy here. He can't drink. So if he asks you for a beer, give him an O'Doul's. And he goes, well, O'Doul's are not part of your package.
Oh, what?
Oh.
And I'm like, all right, well, I'll tell you what. Like, how about if he asks for, like, booze or something, like vodka or something, just give him a Sprite. And the guy goes, I think he's going to be able to tell the difference between a vodka and a Sprite. I was like, nah, he'll be all right. And I remember bringing Beetlejuice to the bar when he wanted to get his first drink. You're telling this guy, like, hey, give me a vodka on the rocks, bro. And the look on this guy's face is priceless, man.
Did he do it? Did he give him the vodka or did he give him the Sprite?
Yeah, gave him Sprite and he drank it and thought he had vodka and he was
nice.
See, that's that's crazy to me because I've always heard Beetle on Howard's show, you know, openly brag about how he drinks vodka straight up out of a cup. You know, he'll just drink
it. He might have used to. I think he's been drunk plenty of times. I don't really know. But there was a science to kind of walking around with him.
Looking back at it, he probably was drinking Sprite and water the whole time. People are just telling him it was vodka.
And I think, I'm going to interject, possibly he knows what's up. He's glad the guy's giving him Sprite, you know? He probably does know the difference, but, you know, he just plays it off. Continue, please.
I kind of doubt that.
Yeah, I don't think he knows the difference.
And this is all possible. I don't know much about the guy, but I know about people. I don't know. But yeah, I'm glad he's not getting wasted. This.
So you kind of helped him out. Like it was like for instance, he said he had to go take a leak. So I'm like, all right, well, let's go to the bathroom. And he's like, okay, well, follow me. So now I'm following him to the bathroom.
Because he's the boss.
Yeah, pretty much. And you kind of just let him be the boss. And so we're kind of walking around this entire venue. Like, we're nowhere near the bathroom. But we finally make our way to the hallway that the bathrooms are on. And the men's room and the ladies' room were opposite each other in the hall. And he got in between the two doors. And you could see his eyes kind of shifting from door to door, and he's kind of talking to himself because he doesn't know what door to go through. Mm-hmm. So you got to help him with that, stuff like that. He charges money for pictures. Hmm. And I forget how much it was, but let's say it was like 10 bucks a picture. So these guys are coming up to him, like the people that were just kind of wandering around the area outside the show were just coming up to him, hey, let me get a picture. And he's like, oh, 10 bucks, bro. And the guy goes, well, how about you take me and my friend's picture and I'll give you $2? And he's like, all right, man. So I kind of step in and I'm like, yeah, just give him the $10, man, you know? And these guys, they like, even these guys who were just like fans, they were even like wise to what to say because they're like, no, he knows what he's talking about, man. He knows what he's doing.
Wow.
And then he hears that. So now I've got him yelling at me, like, I know what I'm doing. All right, man. Take the $2, man. What do I care? I don't.
So what was their? They were saying, "How about you take the picture?" So, were they still getting what they wanted? They just dropped the price by $8.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's definitely a photo opportunity. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everyone wants a picture with the guy. So he's been told if someone wants your picture, ask for $10, and people are usually more than willing to pay. But I mean. Yeah, these guys, they pulled a fast one on him.
That's not cool.
Well, I've read that you're not allowed to give him money. Like, I think they had, they were reading a memo on the air that Sean had sent out explaining how to Beetle sit. And one of the things was, you know, like, don't give him more than $20 in cash and only give him singles.
Well, I didn't get that memo, but yeah, from what I heard, I just know this from listening to the show. Like, he will just wander off and spend whatever money he has on anything. He'll come back with like cell phones and tattoos and stuff,
and fish. Now, did he get mad at you other than that? Then, you know,
no. But if you want him to do something that he doesn't want to do, you just give him two options, like. Hey, we can do this or we can do this. And whatever you want him to do, you just make sure that's the second option. And he'll always pick that one. He'll always go, all right, well, we'll do that then. So as long as he thinks he's making the decision.
Because he's a tough guy. Yeah. Now, did he ever start yelling at anybody in your presence?
No.
So he was super nice and friendly.
No, he was perfect gentleman. My wife met him. Perfect gentleman. Told me about this porno he was making. And I said, oh, yeah, you're making a porno movie? He goes, hey, it's a book.
What?
Yeah, we were hanging out. We did a show at the beach. Again, it was with it was a Levy show, and I was hanging out with him and stuff. And I recorded our conversation. And at the time, I made some like shitty promo CD that I was whoring out at shows and. I included that conversation on it. It was all nonsense, but it was amusing. I was amused.
You still have that?
I've long since stopped selling that thing, man. It's, at this point, it's kind of embarrassing, man. We're going back years, man.
Hmm. Well, I just want to hear the conversation.
I'll send it to you, man.
Man, I'll tell you, man. I cannot get enough of Beetlejuice.
I'll email you the MP3.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Could we put it on the show here, or do you want me to keep it on the DL?
Nah, go ahead, man. I put it on my show.
All right, nice. Yeah, dude, like, I'm obsessed with that guy. Like,
yeah, and so was I. And that was the really cool thing is because, I mean, like, before I was doing stand-up comedy or anything, I was just a fan of, like talk radio, like Howard Stern. I was a big Opie and Anthony fan. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Kid Chris. He's in Cincinnati now, but he was in Philly.
All I know is the Sulu dance.
That's him.
That's the extent of my knowledge.
But I mean, Howard Stern especially. I mean, I'm almost 40 years old, and Howard Stern's a guy I've been listening to since high school. So at the time, I never thought I would have been mingling or anything with anyone from that show. And so it was really cool, man. It was very cool.
Do you know? Okay, well, this is some inside talk. You probably don't know anything about this, but what happened with Bob Levy? Are you aware of why he's not on the show anymore?
Well, I'm aware of his side of the story.
What?
But it had something to do when he had that show on Sirius called Miserable Men.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess they wanted to have. You're familiar with Jim Norton?
Yeah.
The way I understand, with Jim Norton, when he started off, like Levy, Bob Levy's a guy who, I mean, he's not a huge name, but a lot of guys that have seen success in comedy, a lot of them started like under him.
In the comedy world, people know who Bob Levy is.
Yeah, and he was a huge help to comedians when they were starting out, like myself included. Like I got in with Bob when I was like 4 months into comedy. And he started taking me around and putting me in situations that like I wasn't prepared for, which was helpful for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like Jim Norton was one of those guys. And I guess they wanted to have him on the show. And I think they put the kibosh on that because Jim Norton was on the Opie and Anthony show. And those shows were always at odds with one another.
I mean,
that's
the same guy that hosted it now, right? Or is that my thing? Yeah. Somebody else. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He was always like the third mic.
Opie and Jim show or whatever.
But he, I guess things went downhill from there when they wouldn't let him have him on. And there was just problems with that show. And Levy quit. And then after that, this is kind of where it gets foggy. I don't know for sure. And I mean, I certainly don't want to put bad information out there. But, He was doing like his own podcast or something from his house, like live at Levy Land or something. And I guess he made a comment, and I don't even want to quote the comment because I don't know what it was, but I guess it was deemed like a threat. And I think like according to Bob said like detectives showed up at his house and everything.
Wow.
And he was just he was banned from the building. I think I don't think he was allowed in the building. I think he is now because I hear him on Opie and Anthony occasionally now, or whatever his show's called now. But that's something I don't really want to. Don't take that as gospel, man, because I'm not entirely sure.
I mean, I think I might have heard a lot of that before. I think I've.
Yeah, he talks about it. He still talks about it to this day on his own podcast.
Yeah, I bet he's angry. And that makes sense, the whole leaving. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be bringing a competitor's, you know, co-host onto your show. I mean,
I think his argument was that he wasn't going to go and badmouth Howard Stern, which he wouldn't have, but I don't know. Who knows? The truth is, I mean, whatever persona Levy is on the radio, like to meet that guy in person, like if you guys ever met him, he's probably like one of the coolest guys, like really like sweet guy. And as far as like other comedians go, he was just really, really helpful. He was the first person that ever gave me any advice. First of all, everyone wants to give you advice. He was like the only person that gave me any advice that I could actually like use that was like practical, you know what I mean?
And it sounds like he put you to work too. He helped you out.
Well, he was another one. I was excited to meet him too. A guy who was like the club MC at this crappy club that I was going to open mics at said he was going to introduce him to me. and get me like a 5-minute spot on a show. And it was like him and you remember Yucko the Clown?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was their show. And I got like 5 minutes on it and did well. So he, you know, he took a liking to me and started calling me for shows. And I remember he goes, yo, do you want to go to Maryland with me? And I was like, yeah. So jumped in the car with my wife and we went down to Maryland. And we get to the show and he goes, all right, so this one guy was going to go and then I was going to go next and then Levy. And he goes, so how much time are you going to do? I was like, I don't know, like maybe like 10. He's like, 10 what? I'm like, 10 minutes. He's like, yeah, I need you to do a half an hour. I was like, oh.
10 what?
So I think I went up there and I think I did about 14 minutes, 8 of which were probably total shit. And he told me after that, you know, you just got to start building up your time. And he was always putting me in like positions that I wasn't like prepared for. But, you know, you need stuff like that and to get better at anything, you know.
Yeah, he's throwing you in the deep end.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
That's good. And four, I mean, it seems like a decent guy. 4 months, you know, man, we're working for 4 months and he's taking you under his wing.
I don't think he realized that at the time. I mean, I never really bullshitted him.
Right. He probably just had, you know, found you. You look like you could, you know, probably get out there doing the job. So he put you out there and see how you did, that type of guy.
Well, I just, at the time, I think I just had a really, really funny 5 minutes. But that was about the extent of what I had.
You got to start somewhere. That's all you
know
need.
What I mean? Not much you can do with a 5-minute comedian.
Oh, dude, I had to tell you, I was listening.
You guys remember that 5-minute George Carlin special?
No, I don't think I caught that one.
Yeah.
Was it the hippy dippy weatherman?
So.
Yeah, I've been listening to your show, man. It's pretty good. Podcheese.com.
Oh, thank you, man.
Is that podcheese.com? Did I say that right or is it?
No, I haven't bought that domain yet. we're still rocking off the podcheese.podbean.
Oh yeah, that's what it was.
Which I hate. I'd rather eventually I'll get around to
podcheese.podbean.com. Yeah, man, that I listened to that best of. And well, first of all, I can't believe that your co-host had no idea who Tiny Tim was.
He don't know who anyone is.
Well, he was saying the same about you. But Tiny Tim, like that, yeah, that that was one of the funniest conversations I've heard. Like just two grown ass men sitting there, one trying to explain to the other one who Tiny Tim
is. That's pretty much the extent of it, yeah.
Playing his music and what, you listen to this? You actually listen to this? You think this is good?
Well, I think in his mind, I guess he thought I was, you know, windows down, you know, just cruising around with Tiny Tim playing.
I like, Chris told me about that episode, you defended him. I will have no bad talk about Tiny Tim on my episode.
I encourage people to listen to it. It was a pretty good laugh.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that.
Are you going?
Hopefully getting another one out soon. It's hard, like, I mean, you guys are doing this live and doing it consistently. We have no set day. There's no good day or time for us to do it live or consistently. So it's real sporadic, which I don't really like. The people that have been good enough to listen to us have just kind of bared with that. It just comes out when it comes out.
You guys both still doing stand up on a regular basis?
It's nearly impossible to get it out on a regular basis, just with his schedule and my schedule. We both have kids, stuff like that. I work odd hours. He's a teacher. Okay. I use that in the loose sense of a term. Oh. But there's no set date. We could never set a date and time and say this is the day and time that we're putting this out, because just our week, I don't know. I'm probably boring the hell out of your listeners right now with tales of my work schedule. And
we got a comedian we're talking to who's hung out with Beetlejuice. Interesting enough for me.
But he's not talking about Beetlejuice, John. Yeah. Tell me about the juice.
What was he wearing?
Did he have an accident? Like how far did your...
He wears, you know, like the running suits and... What's that?
Yeah, so how far did your duties extend? Did you have to, like, help clean him or anything like that?
You cut out. I'm sorry.
Oh, did he have an accident in your presence?
No.
That's good.
No, never. And, now you mention it, if he did, I don't know what I would have done. Probably ignored it. I don't know.
What did you guys do when you were hanging out? You just walking around downtown, or
me? I just sat there in awe.
He's a guy you can't take your eyes off of.
Nah, he's polarizing, man. I just let the guy talk and was just fascinated, you know?
Yeah, what kind of conversations? How did that small talk go for you?
You know what it is? He's got the mentality of like a child, you know? Because like I said, his head is real small, so you figure there's an even smaller brain in there. You know what I mean? So his mentality is that of like a kid, but it's like a dirty kid because he curses.
Yeah, he's
guy smokes cigarettes.
I was gonna ask, does he smoke?
Guy just talks about fighting and sex and stuff like that. And but he's like a kid, you know.
Yeah, he's got
like a good heart, right? He's not really violent. I mean, he's not a prick, right? He's not. He'll get violent.
Nah, I mean, and even if he was being a prick, I mean, I guess you have no choice but to give the guy a pass, you know.
Yeah.
Well, be like, hey, this guy's kind of rude over here.
Yeah, I think
Beetlejuice
that
guy.
The only time he's
got no manners.
Yeah, but it's okay because it's Beetlejuice. He's cool.
He's got the. It's weird though because he does, like you said, he's got the mentality of a child, but he's surrounded by, you know, probably thugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he comes from a low income area, so
Jersey, right?
Yeah. So who knows the project? So who knows what type of language he's hearing on a regular basis? And you know,
that's how he learned to operate.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you talk back to him, you know, I mean, he'll blow up on you and threaten to.
So he's a handicapped person from the ghetto. So that's how he was brought up.
That's how he talks. Yeah, he'll slap you around.
That's super interesting.
How tall is he?
Yeah, how tall is he? I don't know. I'm 6'1", and he came up like to, you know, about my waist. He's a little guy. He's a real little guy.
I love that guy. Do you have any idea what he's doing now? I know he's with his mom, but like, is he?
No, I think he's with he's with a guy who I think might be related to the guy Sean that passed away.
Okay.
And he puts stuff up on like his Instagram and stuff like that. He seems to live in like a you know, a decent neighborhood, like suburban looking neighborhood.
I thought he was in like Georgia or something like that with his mom, and then he would come up every once in a while to Jersey, and Bobby would, Sean's brother.
No,
would.
He's always been in New Jersey.
Oh wow,
yeah, Jersey City.
So he's still hanging around.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I at this point now, I just follow the guy on like Instagram and Twitter and stuff. That's the only way. If let's put it this way, if I walked past the guy right now. He would have no idea who I was.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime I've met him, I've had to pretty much reintroduce myself. He doesn't remember me from...
What's his standard?
So it's not like... I certainly don't want to paint it out like he and I are tight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's his standard greeting when you introduce yourself again?
Nothing. Nothing. It takes a good little bit for him to kind of warm up to you.
Oh, so he's kind of shy. He doesn't go, hey, what's up, my
dude?
Well,
I mean, he's used to people... everyone knows who he is, so I guess he's...
Oh.
You know... if you can even like attempt to kind of put yourself in his head, like it's got to be a little weird and maybe even annoying for people to just constantly be in your face, people you don't know, and you're in the meantime you're about 3 feet tall,
yeah,
and have trouble processing thoughts as it is. So the people that he like feels comfortable with, he kind of just lurks around them, but eventually, if he warms up to you and you're not overbearing,
and what
he'll kind of warm up to you. And
what a strange life! I never even thought about that because I know that he processes everything very strangely, and I didn't even take into account that he's pretty famous. So that in his day to day life, he'd have to deal with that, people coming up to him and wanting to take pictures with them, being friendly to him all the time, and
that's The last time I saw him, he wasn't taking pictures with anybody, with money or otherwise. No pictures. And people were asking him, and he was, no. Didn't want anything to do with it. I mean, I guess he gets moody.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, I mean, yeah, he does process things weird, and that was the one thing, like, as far... Because he'll just try to walk home from wherever he is. He could be in Las Vegas and try to, you know, I'm going to walk home. He doesn't have a clue. And, So whatever you, whatever direction you want to steer him in, you just give him two options, and whichever one you kind of want him to do, just make sure that's the second one, and then he'll just choose that one. And now he's got the illusion that he made his own decision, and you know. but for me, more than anything, I mean, it was not to sound like a cheese ball, but it was kind of thrilling, man. You know what I mean? I don't get too starstruck overseeing any type of celebrities or anything like that, but he was one I was excited for.
I completely understand. That's why you're on this show. I don't care if you got a Tom Cruise story. I wouldn't be calling you for that.
I would have sent you that audio clip prior.
We can drop it in somewhere. I don't know how soon.
I'll send it to you when I get off here.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I see he was.
So, yo, how long you guys been doing this? If I can switch gears on you guys.
If this isn't, well, hopefully this isn't boring. Year and a half, John? What do you think?
That would say it's about right, yep.
Year and a half, 90 episodes. I think this is episode 90, and we usually do it once a week.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm glad to be on this Strange Label with you guys, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I enjoy it. You guys got to start going live.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening. At least not in this.
It doesn't have to be like you guys can always do it sporadically. You know what I mean? Like put up a like just randomly go live when someone else isn't doing it. Maybe once a month or once every 3 months. You know, there's always options. It's not like it must be done every week. You know,
we have done live shows in the they haven't been streamed live, but they were like live in front of an audience shows.
Oh, that's terrifying.
You know what? It was one of those things. It really could have gone either way. And we were trying to promote it. We kept saying, and this was kind of like just our, like, it was kind of like our cop-out card. We just kept saying, like, if this bombs, like, we're not going to bomb gracefully. Because I think that he and I both were pretty certain that it was going to bomb. So I guess if we figured we put it out there enough that we could potentially bomb if we did, then no one was going to be shocked, but it went well, man. It went well.
That's good to hear. Yeah, doing a live podcast in front of an audience, that we've had people try and push us to do that, and I tell them, I'm like, dude, I was like, you don't. Well, he also wanted to do it like at a pizza place. He's like, man, I know God's got a pizza place. You can just go there on a Friday night. I'm like, dude, that's like people like just podcasting in front of people against their will.
Yeah, that sounds dreadful, man.
Yeah, but he's like, no, it'll be good. I'm like, dude, you're an idiot. Like, you don't understand. And I even told him, I was like, John and I are not stand-up comedians. Like, we're not funny on purpose, you know? Like you guys, you know, you got that background, that stage comedy background, whereas John and I would just sit there and just, you know, like, if I'm feeling nervous, I'm just going to tell people how nervous I am and just start talking to people eating their pizza.
People do not want to sit there and eat pizza and listen to me screaming the F word.
Well, I mean, yeah, but even the other way around, like, would you want to go get pizza and sit there while two people are doing a podcast?
No.
It sounds terrible.
It sure does.
But you know what? Even though he and I, like, come from stand-up, you go up and do stand-up, you've got something prepared. I mean, we obviously had something prepared for this podcast, but it's not like, you know.
We don't have a bit.
Yeah. I mean, we had a couple months to prepare for it, and we kind of had a format for it, and it luckily it went well. We had people kind of helping us out. We had people come on, and it went well, and it was only an hour long. We had an hour slot. It was part of like a festival in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And that hour went by really fast. Like towards the end, we were trying to cram everything in, which was a good problem to have. I mean, the worst could have been 30 minutes in, and then we were done. But that would have been a little awkward. I don't know. It was cool.
I enjoy the awkwardness to a degree. You know, like sometimes I like that strange, that level of absurdity, but it doesn't necessarily make for a good show.
Well, there was a little bit of that too, but fortunately, like the whole thing wasn't like that. And it was also in a place that was conducive to doing something like that. It wasn't I know guys that did one from like a bar, but I mean, it wasn't like the bar kind of advertised that there was going to be a podcast there. They just asked if they could do it from there, and they were annoyed that no one was paying attention. Well, why would they be?
Yeah. We're over here talking into microphones, guys. Check it out.
Were they broadcast? They have a PA?
Yeah. What are you doing, yelling at everyone to keep it down?
That's hilarious. Because, I mean, I know people who would, I think even the show that used to follow us, I think they used to do that. Like, they'd go into, like, a Chinese restaurant and just set up shop.
What
and
is the deal with that?
And just,
who was that?
The show that used to follow us on Strange Label. I
don't even know.
Oh, I'm intentionally not saying their
something
name.
I should know.
I'm fucking with them. I'm intentionally not saying their name. It's the, but they, yeah, they used to go to a Chinese restaurant and, you know, just at least from what I understand, like they weren't, it wasn't a PA. I think it was just like a place that they needed, you know, they needed a place to go. You know, I could be wrong.
That's actually, that sounds brilliant.
Mm. Yeah. Well, let's not give them that. But, but I do know some local, there's a local podcast, the Brother Brother Beercast, and they do the same thing. They go to, they always do it at a different bar, and they, you know, they exchange it, you know, for like advertising. You know, they help the bar out, and they always have their guests, and they set up a, you know, set up a little booth and stay there for hours and record their show. And, you know, the their waitress gets in on it, you know, and they it's a decent show.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty fun, but it's not like, you know, they're not on a stage, you know, trying to entertain people. They just needed a place to go.
Yeah, like they're just kind of squatters.
Yeah, well, maybe, John, we should do that, because I would like to get some people, you know, like actually on the mics instead of over Skype, but I don't want to bring anybody to my house.
Mm, that's a perfect scenario. Meet us at Mr. Wong's Chinese restaurant.
Sounds good to me.
There's a slight possibility we're going to do another one of those in August, but we haven't committed to it yet, and I'm kind of on the fence whether or not I want to or not, because that's the other thing, man, is you got to really promote those things to get an audience there. Like, there's nothing more sad than watching people do a live podcast in front of nobody.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I didn't want to do it. It's like, what if no one shows up? You know, I guess it'd be hilarious. Yeah. So we're here live on location and nobody here.
This festival we were a part of had a couple other ones. One of them was like a Game of Thrones podcast.
Right.
And their whole live format was they were going to do like a Game of Thrones costume contest.
Yeah, because that's great to listen to.
Yeah.
You got to see this guy's costume. Wow.
Well, I ended up leaving as soon as we were done, but Josh, the guy I do it with, he stuck around and was sending me texts, because we were the only people that brought anyone. I guess people kind of thought there was going to be a built-in audience,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no one. No. You gotta get your own people there, you know?
I made that mistake
and
many
no one
times.
Else did that, I guess.
Yeah.
So he was texting me from this Game of Thrones podcast, and he's like, there's literally no one here except me. And I told him, I was like, dude, go up on stage with your t-shirt and jeans and enter the contest and just win by default.
That's a great idea. Did he do it?
Yeah, hey, I'm Tyrion Lannister. Do I get a prize?
Did he do it, though? I want to know.
No. Oh. I think he just sat there and watched him suffer.
That would have been fun.
Well, I was like, did at any point these guys address that there was nobody in the audience? And he said no. It's embarrassing, man.
They've got their parents standing back there clapping real fast to make it sound like there's a crowd.
But you know what was most shocking to me is that people didn't spend money to purchase a ticket to watch Game of Thrones podcast on a Friday night. Can you believe that?
Things are weird nowadays, man. I don't.
Yeah. It's not like it used to be.
Yeah. That thing didn't sell out.
Buy a ticket to watch a podcast live.
Well, if it's a name, you'd go, yeah. You know, a show you're familiar with.
Yeah. But.
Well, and that was the other thing. Like, and we certainly don't have that. We're like a pair of nobodies ourselves, but we presented it and we put on a show, you know what I mean? Like, we put some thought into it. A lot of these guys just showed up with nothing, and
that's what we would,
especially
done.
People, they showed up with no people.
That's
and
what...
God, that was my biggest fear, is we were going to be in an empty room, no one would show up, and
it's
and we'd
dangerous.
Be there.
It's dangerous assuming there's going to be a built-in audience, because we made that mistake. We were in a band, we went on tour, and we drove from here all the way to Buffalo, and I think that was that Buffalo, John?
Mm-hmm. New York.
And there was no one there. It's like there was like we basically we got there and it was basically showtime. And the only people in there was like the bartender and the waitress and some weed dealer. And, and the guy, yeah, and the guy said, they're like, yeah, if no one shows up, we're just going to cancel this shit.
Yeah, we're going home. Like, you guys figure it out.
It's like, damn.
I've been booked on stand-up shows where I've shown up and there's no audience, like zero audience.
Wow.
And we're just kind of standing there like, okay, well, I guess the show's canceled. And at least one dipshit will say, well, we can kind of just get up and do our acts for each other.
Pass.
That sounds dreadful, man.
And we have done that. But in this situation, yeah, there was, we played at this place in New Hope, Pennsylvania.
John and Peters.
John and Peters. Well, we played a Saturday on the afternoon slot. And all we knew going into it was there was like a, what is it, $50 guarantee or $150 guarantee?
I think that was one of the biggest guarantees we got. Like, that was one of the
coolest. Because we didn't ask for any. We didn't demand any. But yeah, so we're like, oh, we got a guarantee. This is great. And we show up late because we got pulled over and searched and all that. But when we got there, there were no other bands. So we're like, you know, the woman's like, oh, well, you know, you missed 30 minutes. So, you know, like, but we won't dock that from your pay.
It's like, whoa, we're on the clock here? Like, whoa, we better get up there.
What are you talking about? She's like, where's your other bands? I'm like, oh, I thought you guys were booking the other bands. And they're like, no, you guys, you know, you this $50 that we're going to pay you is for a 3-hour time slot. You know, we've got a 40-minute set at the most.
And the band is me and Chris.
Yeah, it was just us two. And it was the afternoon slot in that back room.
You couldn't do like a Grateful Dead rendition of just make your songs like 20 minutes long a piece?
We did.
Just jam them out?
That's what we did.
We did.
And, the extended version?
Yeah, no, we filled our time. And I even had a book, and I was reading from a book, like dramatically reading while John was playing the guitar, and there was one guy.
Yeah, one
guy. Sitting back there eating his T-bone steak, just watching us. And he was the only guy in the room just staring at us, watching us. He'd go, yeah! After each song, he was awesome.
We were just, I mean, we were yelling. I remember this one song, you know, it was a Bob Dylan song. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to scream this song, Chris, just badly. You know, he's like, all right, man, whatever. So I'm just screaming this Bob Dylan song. He's like, it's all over now, baby, blah. And we're like 5 feet away from this guy's face, and he's just calmly
eating
his French fries and a sandwich, you know, wiping his mouth at the end of the song. Right on, guys. It's like, this guy's pretty cool. Thank you.
You guys should have done like 20 minutes of music, then done a podcast, and then finished out your set in the last 20 minutes.
This was, I think this was before podcasts existed. I don't remember when this was. This was years ago.
Like 10 years ago or something, but they probably did exist, but us Indiana guys don't know about that stuff early. Yeah.
But it was great because we got the show out of the way, then afterwards we were able to hang out with all the cool people there.
Yeah, that like guy from Ween.
The Ween dude and that Michelle girl who owned that Queen, God Save the Queens or whatever.
Yeah.
You guys did a show with Ween?
No, but that Mickey from Ween always hangs out there, I guess. That's his spot.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah. So if you ever want to see that guy, hook up with him, go there.
I've still got an unpaid parking ticket from there, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, John got a parking ticket? Okay, cool.
it's hard to get people out, especially if you're driving out of state, man. I mean, we were in our hometown, and it was hard.
Yeah.
New Hope, Pennsylvania, coming from Indianapolis.
Well, we had better. I mean, we played like 15 dates. You know, it was all stretched out, so it wasn't like we drove there just for that, and we did. We had better. We weren't complete losers. Pretty close. We were borderline. But yeah, we did have better shows than that. That was just a nightmare story. Nobody wants to hear about the time it went right.
No, yeah, the duds are always the more entertaining story afterwards.
That was a good one. Although we should, at some point in the future of this show, John, I should tell the story about the Fort Wayne when we played and I did the magic trick on stage. That'll be a good one for the future.
Yeah, for sure. That and the motorcycle gang or whatever across the street.
I think we did that, yeah. Okay. Well, Benny, thanks so much for coming on our show. That was pretty cool.
Yo, I appreciate you guys having me, man.
That was some good conversation.
And we'll return the favor sometime, man.
Don't worry about it. But if you got a spot for us, you know, we'll try and do it. We don't really like doing those. Like, we don't...
Well, I bet you we would with these guys, you know? It sounds like the pot cheese guys maybe have a better handle on it.
I think you're right, John. Anytime we've been on a show, we've never enjoyed ourselves. Like, we just hate calling into it, and then, you know, then when it's over, our, you know, we come, our audio sounds like shit on their end.
We sound like assholes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you guys are definitely going to sound like shit on our end. Trust me. Well, we're working off a real rinky-dink setup.
Well, we don't want that. We're going to have to avoid that. And then then the next time we finally went on one that I was like certain that we're going to sound okay. It hasn't come out yet. I don't know. But, you know, but I told the guy, I was like, whatever we do, make sure you can hear us. Like, I'm tired of going on these shows. Like, you know, I was like, basically, I don't go on shows anymore. But, you know, I appreciate you asking me. So I'll come on your show. But make sure we sound good and you can hear us, because I'm going to be pissed. And I think he tried. He did. I'm sure it'll sound fine. But you could tell that was in the back of his head the whole time I was talking to him, because every like 3 minutes he'd say there's a problem with this connection. He'd be like, "Let me try something else. Let me try something else." You know, like we switched phones, called different numbers. Like, you know, he was really babying us, and I appreciate that.
That sounds like how it would probably go if you called into ours.
But you sound great right now. Why would you sound worse on your own show?
Oh, we would.
We would, but. Oh, just us. They would sound good, but we would sound bad,
I guess.
Yeah, through no fault of you guys. We're just working off a pretty rinky-dink system here.
Yeah, what can you do?
Oh, we can call into Skype if you got that.
Yeah. Well, it happen. We'll figure something out.
Nobody wants to listen to this. So what are you doing next Wednesday?
doing a podcast. What about you?
All right, man. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Yo, take it easy, Chris.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
All right. That was Benny. I like that guy.
Good guy, man.
I like that guy. Podbean.com. I almost fucked that up. I can't believe I did fuck it up. I even looked it up beforehand, and I still screwed it up, John.
Or easier, twitter.com/podcheese. Because that pod bean and pod cheese, I would get that totally mixed up. I already have.
Yeah. That was Benny from Podbean.
Yeah, right, yeah. So it's pod cheese.
Yeah, Beanie from pod cheese.
Go to Google, type in pod cheese. You'll find it. It's a good group of guys over there.
Or really, if you want to listen to Pod Cheese, go to follow Chris Break Show on Twitter.
If you want to listen to Pod Cheese, go to twitter.com/ChrisBreakShow. Go to ChrisBreakShow.com.
I have not. That's an inside joke. Actually, it's not, because we talked about it on the show.
Right.
But John, I have not heard from Zach after saying that, after having that conversation on the air.
Have you seen the Pod Cheese? Their Twitter thing, it looks like the thing that you made for Zach. It's got the videotape and then a cheap piece of cheese on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird.
They got a slick website. Go to podcheese.podbean.com.
Yeah.
Still, go to strangelabel.com for all the other great shows, like the show that follows us. And there's no show that follows us. And
they used to leave our name out. That's the joke.
Yeah, that's the joke.
Yesterday, Chris, was Beetlejuice's birthday.
Oh, Mr. Green?
Yeah, and you know who else's birthday was yesterday?
Megan's.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
They're both really short.
You're right.
Yeah. Same birthday. That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. We have an inn.
An inn?
An inn with Beetlejuice, baby. Come on our show. Talk to our female host. John. She's got your birthday. I'll be there, man. Oh, yeah, I was going to say his tweets are hilarious. What?
I got something to play.
Nice.
What is this? That's not how you spell Beetlejuice, bro.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. It's got a J, not a G-U.
That's the...
guys.
Yeah, that's from the movie.
Or the star system, whatever.
Now, why do they call him Beetlejuice, we all ask?
I've never seen that movie.
You never seen Beetlejuice?
Yeah, nope.
Oh, there's a scene in Beetlejuice where Mr. Beetlejuice steals this... he's a voodoo. He's a witch doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He steals this witch doctor's number because they're waiting in line.
Mm-hmm.
And he steals his number so he has a shorter one. And then the witch doctor reaches into his bag, pulls out some dust, sprinkles it over Beetlejuice's head, and then it shrinks down really small.
I've seen that, like, or something. So, and that's why they call him Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I didn't even get it then, you know? Like, so why do they call this guy Beetlejuice? He doesn't look like Michael Keaton. But check out Beetlejuice's tweets. He's quite funny. I'm not going to read some of these. My mom might be listening, but they're really funny. Who am I kidding? My mom doesn't listen to this show.
I don't know. She might. There's a lot of people. I was going to ask you about your mom, but I kind of wanted to talk about it in front of Megan.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. John, I need a theme song.
You need a theme song?
Can you make one for me? How about I sing?
Right now you want me to play a drum or something?
No, you sing.
You want me to sing?
That's what I told you.
What do you want me to sing?
It's time for voicemails. It's the theme to play Chris Break Show voicemails.
Okay.
So you can...
And you're going to play that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
here we go.
I will. I'll do it. It's time for voicemail. Voicemail, voicemail. That was bad. It's time for the voicemail. Get the snizzle to do it.
That's good enough, okay?
Okay.
It's good enough.
Anything's good if you repeat it. If you just cut that.
Well, here comes another one. 3 Megan and future kids. Number 1, clean up. Number 2, be on time. Number 3, stay away from Chris and John. The will to be normal. Here comes another 3. 3, what's in a name? Number 1, ID. Number 2, given. Number 3, the one Megan wants to know.
Where's Megan for this?
For goodness sake, give her the name, Chris Break.
I gave her the name. She didn't show up.
Here comes another 3. 3 in the mail. Number 1, clothes. Number 2, fruit. Number 3, a postcard.
I forgot to mail. I haven't mailed any postcards.
You know the one promised from the Chris Break Show. Still waiting. Here comes another one. 3 going on. Number 1, work. Number 2, weather. Number 3, the Chris Break Show.
I want to know what that is.
Summer fun. Chris, John, and Megan. See y'all later.
That was awesome. That was amazing. Am I going to guess right? That was voicemail. The voicemail. The voicemail.
Now, what'd you say?
Was that who I think it was? Emmy?
Yeah.
Nice.
That was 3 by M.E. Thank you so much for the voicemail and the 3s.
That was amazing, man. It's good to hear your voice, you know, and that dinging, that ringing sound was great, you know. Let you know that it's over and another one has started. Thank you, Mary. Mary writes us so much content that we don't even have time to use.
That's true. We still haven't. We have a script that I keep forgetting to do the intro of the show with.
We do appreciate it, Mary, and we talked about before, like, just at some point putting out a book, you know. I think that's why she gives us so much content, because we talked about releasing it as a book. So someday, maybe we'll do that. I want to do something with it somehow. She gives us all this awesome content.
See, well, that's, yeah.
Here comes another 3.
You heard that one. There's
3
about 6 more of these.
Oh.
Number 1, Marco
case in
Polo.
Point.
But yeah, but I only
content.
We don't have
and
time
3,
for it.
Megan. Dun, dun, dun.
Where's
dun,
Megan?
After her career, Megan. The Chris Break Show is over and done. She'll be off to see the world, living it up and having so much fun. Y'all have a good day.
That's what she's doing.
That was nice. That was very nice.
No, I was curious about that one. Did Megan leave the show? What's happening here? Or maybe she's referencing J. Cole saying that Megan is going to leave us and start her own show.
Oh, yeah, I think.
Chris Break Show is over and done.
What'd she say? Once it's over and done?
Hey, Megan.
Whoa.
Dun, dun, dun. After her career, the Chris Break Show is over and done.
60 years from now.
Off to see the world, living it up and having so much fun. Y'all have a good day.
I will now, Mary. Thank you. I'm going to save these for my rainy day. But you know what today is? It's a ME3 by Mary Rumsey day. I'm just going to listen to Mary Rumsey. That's going to cheer me up. Thanks, Mary. You know, we don't know how to use you yet, but we love you.
We don't know how to use ourselves.
Yeah, right. And we don't know how to get people to show up for the show either. She ate too much sushi. Now, do you believe that?
Show up for the show? There's people here.
Oh, yeah, I mean, besides the gang of people around here.
Thanks for listening, guys.
I mean, our Megan, you know, we couldn't get her here.
Oh, our crest.
Yeah.
John, it's hot in here.
It's super hot. I'm sweating.
And we don't even have it. This light's the only one that's on. I like how it starts off with the sunlight, and then by the time the show's over, it's pitch black in this room. Pitch dark. See, I tried to make everything pretty for Megan today, John. Like, if you notice, I got her a floral tablecloth to, you know, so she's got, it looks cool in her little area. I decorated it for her.
She'll like that when she finally shows up.
Yeah. You know,
you did it for her birthday, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Just for her birthday.
Well, we got to take it down now, so she's never going to see it.
Yeah, and I, you know, and I, all this cardboard brown stuff that we had separating that we were calling cubicles. I painted it black so that it looks a little more cool.
I didn't even notice, you know, and that's how you know someone's doing a good job.
I'm trying to make this a more enjoyable place, and she won't show up, John.
There's some deep-seated issue there.
Why?
Because I don't know about that. You know, ate too much sushi. I mean, first of all, don't you know your limit on sushi?
She doesn't. Okay, let's teach Megan a lesson.
What?
When you don't show up, we talk about you.
Right.
Megan doesn't know her limit, John.
About sushi?
About anything.
Everything in moderation. Especially moderation.
I've been to this place. There's this really god-awful restaurant that shouldn't even exist.
And you've been there.
It's called, oh, it shouldn't even exist. It's called Old Country Buffet.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
Yeah, once or twice, and I see where what you're saying. I don't like to eat there.
Yeah, it's nasty food.
It's like a buffet, isn't it? No, clearly. buffet style food.
That's the weird thing, John. It's not.
It's not.
But yeah, Old Country Buffet. It's what you would expect. Like, picture soul or comfort food is what they call it.
But it's just real crappy quality, right? Like, it doesn't taste good, didn't look good.
Yeah, and there's so much of it. It's nasty in there. You got a bunch of kids running around, shit all over the ground. It's no good. But Megan loves this place.
That's Megan's favorite is the Old Country Buffet.
I've been there with her twice.
I've been there twice in my entire life, so yeah, I think she likes it.
Yeah. Who knows how many times she's been there? Probably a lot. Been there with her twice, John. And both times. What are you typing?
It's too loud. Megan's favorite place to eat is Old Country Buffet.
So, twice I've been there with her. And both times, when we get out to the parking lot, on the way to the car, she vomits in the parking lot.
Oh, she pulls a Russell the Muscle.
Russell the Muscle.
So... Eat a full meal and puke it up in a parking lot, drive away.
Always an Old Country Buffet. And it's not the food. I mean, I'm sure the food, it might have something to do with it.
Yeah.
But it's because it would just all look so good, and she had no limit, and she would just eat as much as she could to where she would throw up when she gets into the parking lot.
No, she throws up. It's not because she's like bulimic or whatever. She's not making it. It's just she ate so much that her body says you're going to puke.
Yeah. She overindulged.
Now, when Russell the Muscle eats his noodles, you know, he would puke up like full noodles, you know. You pointed that out, and it's like we got to talking about maybe he doesn't chew his food. Was it like that with Megan, or does she have, you know, chewed up food? Or do you remember it?
I didn't study her vomit. It's not like I had it on my face. It wasn't that close to me.
Right. That was good. It was good that you didn't.
No. But John, you're talking crazy. So, okay, I didn't see her food.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember seeing chicken bones in there or anything like that.
Right. Well, that's good.
Or carrot wedges or potato wedges. Anything. You know, it just looked like white, brownish. Maybe she just inhaled a lot of gravy.
Yeah.
You know, and just rah.
That's weird. But, Chris, have you ever eaten so much that you puked?
Not eaten, drank.
Well, now that's, you know, I can see that. But yeah.
I don't think so. Maybe.
I don't think so. I have either, like ever.
I almost puke anytime I eat Popeye's chicken. I'm not a fan of that.
I've never eaten there.
I think it's Popeye's. Is that the Louisiana? Is that the stuff that's got that fake, like, or that, like, Tabasco flavor on everything they serve?
Is it that or churches?
Might be churches. Whichever one has the word Louisiana in its description. Oh, hello. Hey, look.
What, Chris? What's
that? We got a tweet.
Really?
Yeah. I wonder if this is a live tweet. It says, J.Kolb said, listening to at Chris Break Show.
Wow.
This is the first time this has happened, John.
Is it? Oh, and she said something else. Did you see that?
No.
Stop talking about Megan. Arg. No wonder you can't keep a female host. Well, no, this is supposed to be a make her want to show up type of thing. You know,
it's tough love.
It's the only thing that she understands.
Yeah, that's the only way you can get somebody to do something is if you slap them around a little bit. You know, that's how people learn.
Well, and we also have good stuff. He made a good didn't you hear J.Kolb? You always got to focus on the negative. He made a great little cubicle thing for her. He made it all purtied up. She doesn't even care about it.
Yeah, that's true.
She hadn't seen it, I guess. But when she does see it, she'll probably like it. I bought little robots for us to have on our desk.
We all have robots now?
Yeah, Megan, you got to come back. We all have robots now. I mean, it's getting cool, you know, so come on, check it out.
The Chris Breakshell studio is really taking shape. We all have robots.
This is the coolest studio ever.
And I hate to say, guys, I hate to one-up you, but I've got two.
You have two? Oh, yeah, he has a different type of robot.
Although I put this one on Megan's desk.
He tried to give that to Megan.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to. No, she can't have it, John. I'm not really giving it to her. I'll let her borrow it while she's here.
Let her play it?
Yeah, because she's always fidgeting. She's always fidgeting over here.
Yeah.
You know what? I adapt to people.
Yeah, style flexing, right?
I style flex, John. I don't make people change.
Right.
You
change to them.
I do those little annoying things, you know, like, you know, like my friend Brian, you know, like he'll just, you know, he'll take little precautions.
Right.
You know, just because he doesn't want to upset me or doesn't want to ask me to change or anything like that. You know, like...
Mm.
Like, what's an example? Okay, this tablecloth, you know why I put this here?
What?
For Megan? It's got a padding on it. Because when she types on her phone...
You can hear it.
Crap. Yeah, it sounds like this.
Mm.
And I just got tired of hearing that, and instead of trying to correct her, I took precautions.
That's nice.
You know? So, hey, now Megan, you can do that all you want. Well, actually, you can't because, as you can tell, you can still hear it. But I'll put something there.
Something there.
And also, you know, this table's pretty weak, John.
Yeah. It's a little bit wobbly.
Yeah. So anytime it would wobble, I noticed that my mic stand was resting on the table that Megan uses.
So anytime
she wobbled, it would go.
That's what you heard.
Yeah. It was my mic stand. Like, what the hell?
I can believe that. Yeah. You guys, like, your equipment's kind of pushed up against each other there.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, what's going on here? You know, she's not doing anything wrong. It's like, what am I going to say to her? You know, like, don't move.
Yeah, right. That's a little bit too restrictive.
So look what I did for Megan. So now she has the freedom here. I took a little hand rag and I wrapped it around my mic stand where the table hits and I put duct tape on it.
Yeah. You're,
so now.
You're using your brain.
Oh, it's still making noise, but not like it was.
Right. And you were moving it on purpose.
Yeah.
You took precautions so Megan could come in here and jitter and fitter.
Yeah.
And we'll still do the show.
I'm a nice guy. I am a nice guy. I try and tell people that.
J.Kolb was saying, I can't imagine your style at interior design. And she said, not tough love. It makes people rebellious. Okay, I can see that. I've never raised a child, but...
Well, I was joking.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah. Yeah. She's
positive.
Responding...
Positive reinforcement is my belief.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of positive reinforcement. Yeah, that's how I worked. Although when I was a manager, I don't know if I used the positive reinforcement. I think I probably used the corrective, kind of the passive corrective that I said I was doing with Megan here instead of telling her, hey, don't do this, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know. Like, how would you use positive reinforcement on that? Because the only thing I could think of is just kind of to not mention it really too much or mention it once. And if she doesn't change it, then I realize that I probably have to change it.
Changing the jittering?
Yeah. So I padded the place so she can jitter now all she wants.
I guess the positive reinforcement would be when she doesn't jitter, you say, hey, thanks for not jittering, you know, literally, but that's not logical.
Yeah, but that's probably annoying too.
So, yeah.
You know?
Well, so you don't want me to jitter? I didn't say that, but thanks for not. J. Cole suggests that we give Megan a blank check. That would make her happy.
Can I just give her a treat? Here you go, Megan.
A blank check. Can we cancel the check before we give it to her? Stop payment?
What are you talking about? The account's going to be closed. Any check I have does not have an account registered to it at this point in time. You know?
They're giving away free money at my bank. It was like, show up and show us that we're using your app, and you'll get a deposit of either $5, $50, or $500.
What?
I didn't do it.
You know, there's people who do that, and it works, and it does pay off, I think.
Because I could have went around to three of them. I was like, I'm going to go to all of them, you know, because one on each different day. I don't think I'm going to go to any of them. But
like hoarders, you know, like people do that. They go and they sign up for these accounts and get all this, and then the next thing you know, they got four microwave ovens in their backseat. And then they don't know what to do with them.
What do you do with them?
You know, I've kind of wanted to do that. That's always been a dream, but I'm just too lazy to accomplish anything like that, such as the frugal traveler. You know, like there's all these, you know, travel hacking, you know, there's all these tips and tricks, you know, to use credit cards to get points, you know, and you get frequent flyer miles, you know, like one of the big ones was, you know, you get this credit card with 0% APR, which is it'll get scary if you don't control yourself. But so you get it first, you start with a credit card with 0% APR.
Right.
That gives you the most points, like for the airlines, the most frequent flyer miles.
Right.
Or hotels, you know. You do this with different credit cards, and you get different things.
You get a whole bunch of credit cards, a whole bunch of bonus
with
points.
With different rewards.
Right.
And you then go to the, the usmint.gov.
Oh, yeah.
And they were trying to get rid of these Sacagawea coins. I think this was a big one I read at the time. I don't know if this one works anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Sacagawea coins, they weren't being utilized, and they wanted them in rotation.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You know, and people weren't utilizing
them. They want you to use this.
Yeah, so you could go to, they don't want you to use it like this, but you can.
They want it in circulation. It's like, hey, we'll give you a price break on these Sacagaweas so you can put them out in circulation.
Free shipping.
Free shipping.
Pay $70, you get 70 Sacagaweas.
Oh, okay. You just trade money for money, but you get a bunch of points.
If you use your credit card.
You get a million points.
And then you take it back to the bank and you deposit the money, and you're just racking up points.
I'd like to try that.
You would think that would be illegal.
Yeah. But they want this stuff in circulation, and the banks want you to use their credit, so you go into debt and have to pay them. So.
You know, I read this article 2 years ago, so I'm sure it's out. But there's people.
There's new mint this coins happens, all the time.
This happens all the time.
Yeah. Different travel hacking. Well, I've never heard of that. I'd like to do that. Just hacking your way into traveling, because you have no business traveling, but you can travel anyway.
Yeah. Although, like everything, it takes money to make money, I believe.
Well, not with this. You just have to have the credit card.
I guess you're right, and then you would pay off the credit card with the money you bought on it.
You could be paying people in Sacagaweas for a long time. I don't know what the deal is with that guy every time he comes in, or he just pays in Sacagaweas.
It would be strange, and they probably... It seems like some level of
Somebody
fraud.
Somebody would stop you at some point.
It feels like it could be some level of fraud, John.
Somehow, yeah. Yeah.
Like, even though you're doing it within the rules.
Yeah.
It's like counting cards, you know. It's
Yeah.
It's within the rules, you know. Like, why can I not do that? But
because they haven't made a rule against it yet. They're probably working on doing that. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it'd be okay, but I don't know. You might want to double check your
anything that sounds too good to be true, right. You're going to end up with your ass in jail.
Yeah.
I think. Or a black eye.
Yeah. Which would you rather have, black guy or jail?
A black guy or jail?
Yeah.
I think that's all I have. I mean, this is so long. I've got a really good story that I'm just going to tease.
Okay.
I'm just going to tease it here because it's too long to tell. But I will say this. Here's what you get. And then we got to go. You got the music ready, John?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's my tease. It's, you know that feeling I got when I met Kevin Smith?
I hope not, but yes, man, that sounds like that's probably one of the worst things, the worst feelings you could possibly have.
Kevin Smith broke my heart
in a public place in front of a lot of people. That's just, you know, people, like you brought one time on the show, people are more afraid of dying than they are of speaking in front of people. Like, you were... You were like that, and then
That was a really bad feeling. Okay, involving a celebrity.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
I now have just recently had a worse feeling regarding a celebrity.
Wow.
And the celebrity is Adam Carolla.
Wow, that's some big news, man.
So I will.
Wow.
I will. But no. Well, I guess should I.
I'm teased because I know that you're a fan of his,
Should I tell you if I'm still a fan or not, or should we leave that for the story?
I guess leave it for the story.
Okay. All right.
Do you think? What do you think you should do?
I think I'm going to do what you said.
Okay.
I think we're going to end the show. Jake Cole, thank you for listening. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Chris Brake. And for John Rapp and May Gunn, who's not here, I'd like to say bye-bye. And we're going to play a little song for you. And then we're going to thank all of our fine friends who help us out. I'll start thanking them now. You know? I'd like to thank Mike Moore from Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks. I like that guy. I'd like to thank Benny from podcheese.podbean.com. I like that guy. I'd like to thank Darren Snyder at Indian Tune. I like that guy. Matt Leroy at Beardy and the Beast. I like that guy. Mary Elizabeth Rumsey at meandrhyme.wordpress. I like that girl. Rich Barker, I like that guy. Punk Rock Night, the Melody Inn, where every Saturday night is Punk Rock Night at the Melody Inn. I also like John G at 405 Media Group. I like that guy. And Ron at Radio Max Music. I like that guy too. He's pretty good. Jeremy at Couch Potato Nation. He's a pretty cool dude. And Mark at Tangent Bound Network. I like that guy. Oh, hey, John, did you check that email? We got an email from, was it IRN?
Oh, what'd they have to say?
Somebody's moving our time. I can't remember who.
Hmm. Well, I don't know how I feel about that.
Mark at the Tangent Bound, I might have thanked him already, but I like him that much. I'm going to do it again. Jack at the Mix FM, I like that guy. Suma Peter at Loud Town Online Radio, I like that guy because he's coming to you out of Africa. And Linda and Ron at Scott Pub Radio. I don't really know where they've been, what they're doing. I haven't heard much from those guys. You, John?
He's Irish.
Ooh. Ooh. I lost my spot. Oh, Tom. How did I forget about Tom from TalkStream Live? I like that guy. I like Mike from IRN. I like Toby at the Radio Blitz. The Mars Sound Man at United Sound's Choice. I like that guy. Tico at FJS Radio. Cool dude. Peter Cornucopia Broadcasting, I like him. And most of all, Big Nate on the air at Cover Charge Radio.
That's the Big Nate sound.
There's a Big Nate on the air. Okay. I'm happy, John.
That's good. It's good to see you happy. I like that.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy you're happy. That's good enough.
You didn't wake up today wanting to die?
I was too tired. I was too tired to worry about it.
I just get up and go. I'm sunburned. All right, thanks, guys. 'Where's Maya?
I don't know. Did you turn it off before? Or is it not on here?
It's not on there. You know what?
Oh, it says without Maya.
Maybe I should have deleted that one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to delete that one.
Let's listen to the whole song again and have a 2-second conversation. All right. What was I going to say? My neighbor's got these fucking chickens, man.
That's really cool.
No, it's not.
Because
there's this little black chicken with a big white head, and he's been getting into our yard, and he's eating all. They planted all these flowers yesterday, all these seeds, and he's been getting back there and eating them. And I try and chase him, and he's too fast.
No, what?
Too furious.
You got too fat. You got to be Rocky Balboa on him.
Yeah, but for some reason he'll hide behind the smallest objects and think he can't be seen. So then I can just walk right up to him. But then when I bend down, he runs away. I didn't know what to do.
Right.
So I took a bunch of bird seed.
I saw that bird seed.
Yeah, I took a whole bunch of bird seed, and I threw it in my neighbor's yard.
Okay.
So hopefully he'll just... Because my neighbor left town for 2 weeks. So we got this fucking chicken running around. Okay. So I threw all this bird seed in my neighbor's yard, and I hope that he'll just stay over there and roost. That's my plan.
What about the geese?
No geese. They haven't come back. All right, we'll be back. Tomorrow. No, next week.
Okay, thank you very much. I hope you play it. And I know this is recording. And I hope you play it. Okay, see you guys.
My song went away for a week. My song went away for the weekend.
Where'd he go?
Huh?
Where'd he go?
He went to high school for the weekend. With the college.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, my son is way over 200 pounds. He's like me.
Is he tough?
Huh?
Is he tough?
Sometimes.
You told me about when he was playing basketball.
Yeah, he played basketball last year. He's playing basketball for another school now. He's going to work now, and he's working now.
What's he do?
Huh?
What's he do?
He does computers for people who's like working for the basketball place. People who's like tell you it on the internet and people working for like a basketball. That's what he's into.
Basketball?
Yeah, he's working like he's like a engineer like for basketball. Yeah, he's into basketball right now. Going to school now. He only come home for 1 week, but he has to go back to work. But now he's out right now. He's gone for a week. Three months. He's out in 3 months. He's in there for 3 months. Now he's out there now. He don't come home till next week.
Where is he?
Huh?
Where is he?
In college. In high school.
Yeah?
Yeah, they had like a dorm room for the college kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where he's at.
Oh, okay.
Far from here, though.
How far?
Way far from here.
Yeah, like an hour?
It's long hours. Long, far. The school is very far. Like basketball, football, all that shit.
Yeah.
He's gonna be there for a while. He don't come home till next week.
What's he gonna do when he comes home?
Huh?
What's he gonna do when he comes home?
No, he's not coming home. He'll come home next week.
Then what's he gonna do?
Huh? Oh, he stays at the dorm.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's in school right now at the dorm. High school dorm? Yeah. Well, he just went away yesterday. He's on the plane right now.
Where's he going?
Huh?
Where's
he's
going?
On the plane.
Where are you guys?
Oh, he is? Wait, is he flying?
Yeah, he's flying to school, yeah.
To high school?
Yeah.
For the weekend?
Yeah.
Nice, man.
Don't come home till next week.